It's time for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. It's time for The Game on News Talk 1400 WKNW Sault Ste. Marie. For the next 2 hours, we'll get an in-depth look at local sports in the Eastern Upper Peninsula and Algoma region and hear from the coaches and players that are involved in the game. We'll also analyze the college and pro sports scene across the region and dive into the biggest national stories, too. Now, let's get to the game and join your host, Scott Nason.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to The Game on News Talk 1400. You can also hear our show online at newstalk1400.net and podcasts available at thegamesportshow.podbean.com. As the man said, my name is Scott Nason, broadcasting from our News Talk 1400 studios in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, on this Monday, January 24th, 2022. The Game, the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, will be with you up until 8 o'clock tonight. And coming up on tonight's show, we'll be joined by Matt Johnson, co-host of our newest show on The Game Entertainment and Media. That show is called Full Court Press, talking about boys basketball here in the Upper Peninsula. And Matt and I will be talking to the head coach of the Newberry Indians boys basketball team, Ken Depew, as we recorded that interview yesterday. We'll play that interview here around 6:20. Also joining us on the show for the first time in 2022, co-host David McKeag Jr., host of the Game Sports Show in Sioux, Ontario, as Dave will get us up to date on what is going on in the Northern Ontario sports scene. And then at the top of the hour, 7 to 8 o'clock, we'll be joined by co-host Butch Davis from Butch on Sports to talk regional and national sports, and certainly a lot to talk about as we have been off the past 2 weeks. Yours truly contracted COVID-19. Thankfully for me, the symptoms were mild, but it kept me out of work for a couple weeks. And certainly happy to be back here on The Game here on News Talk 1400. We got a lot of sports to talk about. As always, we start with local sports, and let's start with girls high school basketball from this past week in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. The Cedarville Detour Islanders fell at Mackinac City 73-46 last Monday night. Watch out for Mackinac City. They are undefeated on the season at 11-0, and they had a strong team last year where COVID-19 knocked them out of the playoffs, so they are going to be a very formidable opponent for one of the UP schools that advances to the regionals. Watch out for the Comets. They got a really good team this season. Mid-Peninsula at Brimley on Monday. That game was canceled in girls basketball. One other cancellation from this past Monday, Pickford. They were scheduled to play in Pelston, but that game was canceled. On Wednesday, Pickford did play, and boy, what a game it was at the Purple Palace in Pickford as the St. Ignace Saints knocked off the Panthers by the score of 58-56. Senior Allie Schultz got the ball near the corner off an inbounds pass and then drove to the hoop, sliced between two defenders before launching a two-handed underhand shot, which went off the backboard and in just before the buzzer as the Saints knock off Pickford in girls basketball 58-56. Thursday night, Sioux High girls, they were scheduled to take on Newberry. That game was postponed, and that game has been moved to next Monday, January 31st. That game will be played in Newberry. St. Ignace, well, they're starting to get things together, although things really weren't too bad for the Saints. They've only lost a couple games on the season. However, by their standards, that's a slow start to the season. But the Saints are starting to really kick things into gear as they knocked off Sheboygan in Straits Area Conference play on Friday by the score of 59-22. And then they took on Brimley Saturday in a makeup game and had no trouble with the Bays as they win 62-24. The Saints now 8-2 on the season. They will be home to Gaylord on Tuesday. Brimley 4-5 in girls basketball. They will be at 0-6 Newberry. That game also on Tuesday. Newberry did not play a game in girls basketball this past week. Pickford, they remain unbeaten in EUP conference play in girls basketball as they knocked off Rudyard on Friday night 67-47. That improves the Panthers to 6-1 on the season. Pickford will be at Brimley on Thursday. Rudyard now 3-3 on the year. They will be at Cedarville Detour tonight. That game will be played in Detour. Cedarville Detour fell at Engadine on Friday night in girls basketball, 54-35. The Islanders now 5-4 on the season, while Engadine improves to 7-3, and they will be at Munising on a Tuesday. In boys high school basketball from this past week on Tuesday, the Suhai Blue Devils fell at Marquette 60-39. Suhai boys now 3-5 on the season. They were also scheduled to take on Newberry last week, but that game has been moved to next Monday night at home against the Indians. The Blue Devils' next action is tonight as they will host the Pickford Panthers. That game is set to tip off in about an hour or so. And you can hear that game over on our sister station, 1230 WSOO, with Dave Watson and Ray Bell. Also on Tuesday night in EUP conference play, Newberry all over Brimley, 73-37. The Indians winners of three in a row. They're now 3-4, and they will be home to Munising on a Wednesday. The Bays 4-3. They will be at home to Rudyard on Tuesday. And Rudyard on Tuesday knocked off Engadine 81-31. One boys basketball game on Wednesday, undefeated Hillman. They top Cedarville Detour 70-38. The Islanders did bounce back on Thursday night as they won at Engadine 70-35. Cedarville Detour now 4-3 on the season. They will host Suhai on Wednesday. That game will be played in Detour, and you can hear it over on 1230 WSOO with Dave Watson and Ray Bell. Engadine yet to win a game this season, 0-6. They are at Munising tonight. Rudyard, they kept Pickford winless on the season on Thursday as they defeated the Panthers at the Purple Palace 74-25. Pickford now 0-5 on the season. As I mentioned earlier, they are at Suhai tonight. St. Ignace, they edged out Sheboygan on the road in Straits Area Conference play on Thursday night, 52-51. The Saints now 4-3 in boys basketball. They will be at Gaylord on Tuesday. And one game on Saturday, it was a big one. Two undefeated teams at the Harris Call Gymnasium. And Rudyard, they improved to 8-0 as they knocked off Munising 57-34. The Bulldogs will be at Brimley on Tuesday and then take on Suhai Friday night. And we will have that game over on 1230 WSOO. We have Suhai Rudyard girls Thursday night. Yours truly filling in for Dave Watson. We'll be joined by Ray Bell around 7 o'clock. And then the boys Friday night in Rudyard also on 1230 WSOO. Yours truly, Ray Bell, with the call. So we have lots of Suhai basketball coming up over on 1230 WSOO. Suhai hockey was at home this past weekend at the Big Bear Arena as they took on Warren De La Salle on Friday and Port Huron Northern on Saturday. Blue Devils would fall to the number one team in Division III, Warren De La Salle 6-0, and then were knocked off by Port Huron Northern 4-2. The Blue Devils now 7-8-2 on the season. They're going to hit the road this week as they will take part in the Michigan Public High School Showcase at Chelsea. Blue Devils will take on Jenison on Friday at 4 p.m. and Novi Saturday at 2. And you can hear both games on your official home for Suhai Athletics, 1230 WSO, with Dave Watson. We'll talk more about the Ontario Hockey League and the NOJHL's resumption back to play with Dave McKeag coming up here around 6:40. Sioux Indians were at home this weekend as they took on Windsor. The Indians would fall on Saturday, but they would come back nicely and defeat Windsor on Sunday by the score of 2-1. As the Sioux Indians will travel to Columbus, Ohio this weekend to participate in the Super Series AAA tournament. Laker hockey over the weekend did not have any league play. The Lakers did take on the Team USA's under-18 development team Friday night at Taffy Able Arena, and they would skate away with a 5-1 exhibition win in that one. And the Lakers, they return to WCHA action, this upcoming week. And they hope to break a four-game conference losing streak as they will travel to Marquette to take on the Northern Michigan Wildcats in a pair of games. Friday's game, 7:07 p.m. and Saturday at 6:37. And you can hear both those games over on Yes FM. The Lakers now 7th place in the WCHA, an overall record of 11-14-1, 7-11-0 in WCHA action. They got leapfrogged over the weekend by Ferris State. How about the Bulldogs going up to Bemidji and sweeping the Beavers. So now Ferris State currently 1 point ahead of Lakers for sixth place. So the Lakers only have a handful of conference games coming up. They have to travel to Northern Michigan this weekend. They'll also take on Ferris State at home, travel to St. Thomas and Bowling Green at home. So 8 games, and the Lakers have quite a few teams to jump if they want to get one of those home ice positions. And this weekend's going to be a tough one as they take on a Northern Michigan Wildcats team. Always tough to play up at the Berry Event Center, and certainly probably playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder after what the Lakers did to the Wildcats just before Christmas, sweeping them here at the Taffy Abel Arena. So big weekend for Laker hockey. And coming up tomorrow at noon, you can hear the Laker Hockey Show right here on News Talk 1400 with the voice of Laker Hockey, Bill Crawford, as he will interview head coach Damon Witten or another coach and possibly a player. Laker Hockey Show every Tuesday at noon right here on News Talk 1400. Laker men's and women's basketball teams both had a pair of games on the weekend. The Laker men traveled to Big Rapids to take on the first place Ferris State Bulldogs. The Lakers would fall in that game by the score of 95-80. Malik Adams finished the game with 19 points to lead the Lakers. David Wren poured in 16. And the Lakers would bounce back Saturday at home at the Bud Cooper Gymnasium. Nice win over Northwood by the score of 78-53. Kimon Bassett with a big game, 14 points, going 6-for-10 from the field, also adding 4 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 steals. Bassett hasn't played a lot of games, coming back from an injury, and boy, he looked good in that game. The Lakers looked very good overall, and a big win for them in GLIAC play. Justin Fisher, he had 13 points in the Laker win. And the Lakers will be on the road this week as they take on Wayne State on Thursday at 7:30. They'll be at Saginaw Valley on Saturday at 3. And they did agree to play Davenport on the road Monday. So a rare 3-game road trip for the Lakers. That Davenport game is scheduled for 2:30 on Monday. And the Laker men currently in 5th place in the GLIAC with a 5-4 record, but they are within a couple teams ahead of them, including Saginaw Valley, who's in 4th place, just a half game ahead of Lake State. So a big weekend for the Lakers trying to get some wins on the road. Always tough to win on the road in any conference, certainly in the GLIAC, very tough. Laker women's basketball played a couple games as well. They would fall to Ferris State on Thursday in Big Rapids at 90-38. Madison Raymond led the Lakers with 13 points. Mackenzie Bray poured in at 12 points for the Lakers. And then Lake State would also lose at home Saturday to Northwood by the score of 74-45. That game played at the Bud Cooper Gymnasium. Madison Raymond led the Lakers with 16 points, as Mackenzie Bray would have 10 points for the Lakers, who continue to struggle in GLIAC play. And they will also be on the road this week, taking on Wayne State on Thursday. That game set for 5:30. Saginaw Valley on Saturday at 1. And I believe they will also take on Davenport. Don't have a starting time for that game. But that game should start, if the boys start at 2:30, I would imagine the girls will probably start at noon or so. Well, coming up here in a couple weeks in the Twin Sioux, it is the 53rd running of the biggest snowmobile race in the world, I think, the I-500, as that is set to take place on Saturday, February 5th. We will carry live race coverage over on 1230 WSO. I believe the Moose, Mark San Angelo, among a cast of thousands with the call. Of course, last year, the I-500 was not run due to COVID-19, and we're looking to get a couple guests from the I-500, not just for next Monday's show here on News Talk 1400, The Game, but also for Coach's Corner. I'll be filling in for Dave Watson on Saturday, Coach's Corner live from Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, as we are hoping to be joined by a guest or two from that organization. Certainly a big event for Sault Ste. Marie. And, you know, you look at all the snow, that's usually a good thing for snowmobiles. But however, in talking to their board chair earlier today, not necessarily a good thing for the race. They want cold weather and clear tracks. And I got to be honest. I don't know much about snowmobiles or snowmobile racing. I'm happy if I can get my snowblower started, let alone trying to ride one of those machines. But it's a big event, so we want to give it the proper coverage here on the game and at Coach's Corner. So we're going to be talking to some of the organizers of that race, the I-500, which will be a week from Saturday here in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Looking at our broadcast schedule here before we go to our first break, and it'll be joined by Ken DePew, head coach of the Newberry Indians boys basketball team. Tomorrow night, we'll have Detroit Pistons basketball right here on News Talk 1400 as the Detroit Pistons will take on the Denver Nuggets. Pregame show around 6:35. We'll have Sioux Greyhounds hockey Wednesday night over on Rock 101 as the Hounds home to take on Saginaw. Sioux High boys basketball at Cedarville Detour. That game played in Detour over on 1230 WSOO with Dave Watson and Ray Bell. Pregame show around 7 o'clock. And then after the basketball game, we'll join Detroit Red Wings hockey in progress as the Wings will take on the Chicago Blackhawks. Thursday night right here on News Talk 1400, the Detroit Pistons at home to take on the Orlando Magic at 6:35. We'll have Sioux High girls basketball over on 1230 WSOO as the Blue Devils will take on Rudyard. Yours truly and Ray Bell with the call around at 7 o'clock. And then a busy weekend here on our radio stations. We'll have Sioux High Blue Devil hockey at the Chelsea Showcase over on 1230 WSOO with Dave Watson. That one's scheduled for 4 o'clock. And then right after that, around 7 o'clock, we'll have Sioux High boys basketball as the Blue Devils will take on the Rudyard Bulldogs. Yours truly and Ray Bell with the call of that one. Laker hockey over on Yes FM Friday night. The Lakers taking on Northern Michigan. We'll also have Sioux Greyhounds hockey on Rock 101 as the Hounds take on Flint. And then on Saturday, Coach's Corner live from Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, 11 to 12 o'clock. I'll be filling in for Dave Watson on that one. We'll have Detroit Pistons basketball here on News Talk 1400 as the Pistons will take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Pregame show 5:35. Laker hockey at Northern Michigan over on Yes FM 6:05. Pregame. Sioux Greyhounds hockey taking on Barrie 6:35 over on Rock 101. We'll also have Detroit Red Wings hockey as the Wings will take on the Toronto Maple Leafs over on 1230 WSOO, starting with the pregame show Saturday at 6:45. So you are caught up on the world of local sports. We're going to take our first break here on the game. We come back, we will replay an interview from our newest show on thegamesportshow.com. That show is called Full Court Press. Yours truly, the host, along with Matt Johnson, we record that show either on Saturdays or Sunday, talking about the world of EUP boys basketball. We had our first guest on Full Court Press from Sunday, Ken DePew, head coach and athletic director of the Newberry Indians boys basketball team. So we're going to play that interview coming back from the break, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400. We are joined by Newberry boys head basketball coach Ken DePew, also the athletic director of Newberry High School. Ken, appreciate you joining Matt and I on Full Court Press. And how you doing on this Sunday morning, sir?
Hey, it's a beautiful Sunday for me as well. I get a hard time from the Packer fans in this area, being a lowly Lion fan. So I wasn't too upset with yesterday night's game.
I was not either, Ken. I am a long-suffering Lions fan as well, and I was telling Matt off the air, you know, it took 32 years for the Bengals to win a playoff game, and then they win another one last night. Lions have won one playoff game in 64 years, so I guess we're on the clock now.
Yes, I think so.
Ken, how has the season gone for your Newberry Indians? Obviously, it's been a challenging season for everyone due to pauses and stops and starts, but your team right now on a three-game winning streak, currently 3-4 on the season, beat Brimley convincingly at home last week by the score of 73-37. Just first question for me is just overall, how has the season gone for your Newberry Indians?
Pretty rough season, more so I think as an athletic director. We started off, as you, Scott, I had a bout with COVID and cost me 2 weeks. And Matt, you're a coach, you know, that 2 weeks without your team, you know, fill-in coaches just aren't the same. And the team knows it, and practices aren't as intense. So I actually came back a day before we had to play our first game. So I'm scrambling, like, in the pregame talk with inbound plays and the such, and it really showed. We got blown out by Cedarville, and then, as scheduling would have it, we only had one day, and then we had to play the Bulldogs in Rudyard, and they just absolutely destroyed us. Then we went into Christmas break, and then, you know, I was able to get with the team for a while. I thought we showed some improvement, but still getting things together, and we got beat up with St. Agnes, but I thought took a step forward against St. Agnes, and then another step forward against Sheboygan, and then we just, you know, we continued to get better. We were able to beat Pickford, who was down a couple of starters. We were able to beat Manistique, which was a little surprising, and then we beat up on Brimley, but they were down, I think, three starters, and they had a three-week layoff. So I think all of the coaches on the eastern end are really fighting with this COVID and losing players and gaining players and just trying to adjust lineups. It's been a tough couple of years.
Kenny, so last year you had Logan, who was, you know, one of the highest scorers in the region, if not the highest scorer, was Coke EMP Player of the Year, responsible for a lot of the scoring on the team. So tell us, you know, about your roster this year, and if all goes well, like, how are those points being replaced?
Yeah, Logan is a tough replacement. Not only is, you know, he's 23, 25 points a game, but he led our team in steals, in assists, in rebounds, and he was a catalyst really for everything. But we got a foreign exchange student from Italy, Claudio Bistolfi. He is talented with the ball, but had never really played organized basketball. They don't have high school sports. It's more like clubs over there. So, you know, his first game in Cedarville was literally his first game, and he did pretty well. Of course, I got Marco Juarez returning, a good ball handler, Connor Rinnemack. He's picking up some of the scoring. My two big men, Liam Shanley and Eric Edwards, are, you know, they're a lot stronger this year than last year, and that has been a new element and kind of the way that our team has changed over. We're more physical than we were last year. And then freshman Matty Rawhalley scored 19 in our last game, and that was, I'm hoping, a coming out party for him. But a couple of those guys, you know, one thing that we got to worry about with basketball in Newberry is hockey. So we got, like, Matty Rawhalley and Eric Edwards are both on the hockey team. So that adds a little wrinkle to us as well.
Ken DePue joining us on Full Court Press. Matt, you have another question for Ken?
Yeah, I just had a follow-up on that. I am amazed what you just said about Claudio Bistolfi not having played organized basketball, because one of the things when I watched your game so far, he's one of the guys who really stuck out to me as having some basketball ability, and I would never in a million years have guessed that. Has he just been like practicing on a basket by himself? Like, where did he pick these skills up?
You know, talking with Claudio, I think he had a trainer, and they play in club sports over there, but you're right about the skills. His ball handling skills are fantastic. And I think now, you know, the last couple of games now, he's led our team in assists, where, you know, the first few games we had a tough time getting him to pass the ball. He's very good at one-on-ones if you have an open court, but as you know, we can drive by someone here, and then we got the big center waiting for us, and now he's learning what to do in that situation. So, you know, I'm just hoping for more good things out of Claudio.
Where is he from?
He is from Italy.
Okay.
Ken DePue joining us on Full Court Press, head coach of the Newberry Indians boys basketball team, also athletic director. And Ken, you alluded to it in the first question I asked you about the challenges, not just being a head coach during COVID times, but also as an athletic director. Both Matt and I have that background, Matt a little longer than yours truly. And during non-pandemic times, that's always a challenging job just on its own. If you had to pick one thing, and there's many things, obviously, that I would imagine have been challenging during these past 2 years, what's been the most challenging, not just as a head coach, but as an athletic director?
Well, scheduling the games itself isn't too tough, but rescheduling has been pretty tough. As you guys know, we've lost a couple of officiating teams on the East End, and the officiating teams that we have are fantastic. You know, they're willing to work, and they're doing 4, 5, and 6 games a week. And when we have these reschedules, you know, we got to get on the phone right away to see who we can get. And a lot of teams, what we're seeing now is some games are being officiated with two officials because the third guy has to make up another game so a team can play. And they've really bent over backwards to help the kids play these games. And it makes me cringe when the fans give them a hard time, because these guys are working 5 days. You know, they're working their job. Then they come and officiate a game, and they're doing it 5 and sometimes 6 days a week.
Absolutely. By the way, Kenny, we have a segment of the show called War Stories. And I just want to let you know, if you have any parents that are giving you a hard time, or any that are being unruly towards officials, and you want to let it be known to the masses what kind of behavior is going on, and you want the empire to strike back, you are welcome anytime on the air to do that, or you can tell me and I'll do it.
Sounds like an offer you can't refuse there, Ken.
Yeah, that it happens, and it makes me cringe, and, you know, I get on them. But if you guys, official, you don't mind so much talking with the coach. What bothers the officials is when the players want to chime in, and the fans want to chime in, and the parents and the grandmas and the high school kids. And, you know, it's it makes it rough. And then from the other standpoint, as an athletic director, I don't want anyone talking with the officials because I know how hard it is to get them to work the games.
Yeah. So, Ken, Scott, do we have an audio problem here?
No, just a little background noise. Keep going, Matt.
Okay. One of the players on your team that I've been high on, I was high on him when I was a coach, probably as high on him as anyone, and high on him in the media just because I like some of the intangibles, was Marco Juarez. Will you just talk a little bit about Marco and what it's like, what he's like, and what it's like to coach him, and what he brings to your team?
Yeah, I talked earlier about Logan leading the team in rebounds, and I think Marco was either second or third, being almost always the shortest player on the court. But he's a very quick, strong ball handler. His shot has been his bugaboo for his career. He struggled with his shooting. He works on it, and they just they're not falling for him. But he's very good around the basket, and he's getting a lot of assists for us. very good defensively. He knows the game. But the intangibles is when you're in a scrap for a loose ball, you know, he comes out with it a lot. And he's done that for now. He's a 3-year starter for us. And he's only a junior.
Yeah, if you look at the players that I've really talked about on this show, it's kind of been those hustle and tangible guys. I love McLean and St. Ignace. I love Orsborn and Pickford. I love Marco and Newberry because, like, your game against St. Ignace, I know that the final score was not great, but when I saw that game, I noticed a significant turnaround in your team just in kind of how they were playing, particularly on offense. The ball movement, spacing was good. Marco, I just noticed like how much of a part he was of whether it was turnovers, how good he is in transition, just kind of like all those intangible plays that contribute to winning.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been Marco for 3 years now. He makes so much happen on the basketball court. And while, you know, as a coach, it's not always the people putting the ball in the basket that are the stars of the team. It's people that do everything else.
Absolutely.
Ken DePue joining us on Full Court Press, head coach of the Newberry Indians boys basketball team. And Ken, my final question for you this morning is, looking at your schedule, obviously every week is going to be busy trying to get all the games in. This upcoming week, you have a pair of home games. On Wednesday, you take on Munising, who had their first loss last night to Rudyard, and then back to Straits Area Conference play on Friday, taking on Sheboygan, and then a makeup game at Sioux High a week from Monday. Just final question for me is, overall expectations for you as head coach for the rest of the season? Obviously, your team has won 3 straight. You want to win a lot of games, but just overall, what are your goals for the remainder of the season and beyond?
Well, at the beginning of the year, I was told by a couple of guys in Newberry, boy, if you get 4 or 5 wins this year, it's going to be a really strong year. And, you know, looking at on tape, I think my team's every bit as good as they were last year. Connor Rinnemacki's shooting has improved. He helps us out. Claudio helps us out. The two big guys, Liam and Eric, are improved. The problem with the EUP this year for us is that every team, I think, is better than they were a year ago. You know, we took Detour in Cedarville looked like probably 4 wins for us and turned it into 2 incredibly tough games now that they are combined. Engadine's still rebuilding, struggling, but I think when at full strength, Brimley is tougher than they were last year. Sault Ste. Marie is way better than they were last year. St. Agnes has improved. Sheboygan, if not better, they're equal to where they were last year. So, you know, the wins are tough to come by. I'm hoping, like I do every year, that we continue to improve. We have been fortunate enough to play our best basketball at the end of the season because the last few years we've been able to improve throughout the year. And that's really the goal, that the players continue to play hard. Early in the year, it was frustrating that I would get other coaches and fans and even officials comment on just how hard Newberry played. And that's somewhat frustrating for a coach because, you know, you want the kids to get wins. And now we've tasted some victory. So we'll continue to play hard. We'll continue to improve. You know, the schedule is really tough on the East End. I think Munising found that out yesterday in Rudyard, that on the East End of the UP for the small schools is pretty strong basketball. So I don't know. I won't throw out a number of wins I'm looking for. I'm looking for continued improvement and continued hard work from my team, and I will be satisfied with their effort if I get that.
Matt, your final question for Ken.
I don't have a question. I have a comment. So you're absolutely right. When I see this team in the last few games that I've watched, I see a scrappy team, and that's how Ken's teams have been. When Ken was, I still remember this, Ken. Remember when you and I were JV coaches, and I had that really solid team in 17 in Pickford, and you came down and beat us. Every year it just seems like, you know, you do a good job getting your team, you know, where they're playing hard. So we are pulling for you on this show. You're one of our favorites, that's for sure. And best luck the rest of the way.
And I got a little story about that particular game. We had our practice. I had 5-on-7 press breaker drills. And I would run a drill where I would time the amount of time we could get the ball out of bounds and throw it to half court, because we knew your diamond was really strong up top, but we could exploit it at the half court inbound pass. So we would run a drill. And the kids, well, you know, the JV kids, they were whining, "Coach, what are we wasting time with? You got 7 guys out here. They're not going to have 7 guys." I was like, "Well, if you guys understood that first game, it was like Pickford had 7 guys out there." And at the end of that game, the kids were like, "Coach, I'm never going to question any of your drills again." And they were really excited. So, yes, I do remember that game.
Oh, that was... And you know, we went 18-2 that year, and we lost to Cedarville by 1 point in the first game, and we were playing you on a Wednesday, I think, in Cedarville on Friday. And our kids, I think, were just thinking, well, we beat Newberry decisively. They kind of were thinking about Cedarville. And one of the worst coaching errors I ever made, I broke the cardinal rule. I did some Cedarville stuff before the Newberry game, and you coached your ass off in that game. You had those guys prepared to win. Best job, coaching job I went against that season as far as preparing their team. It still breaks my heart. I'm sure it's one of your highlights.
Ken DePue joining us on Full Court Press. Ken, best of luck the rest of the season. Thanks for joining Matt and I on Full Court Press, and we'll certainly talk to you and see you down the road. Appreciate you taking time out, and again, best of luck to you and your team the rest of the season. And welcome back to the game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you, joining us now, co-host of the game here on News Talk 1400 and host of the game sports show in Sioux, Ontario, David McKay Jr., joining us once again on the game. And Dave, it has been a long time since we have chatted. It's been almost a month, and in that month, we have had our station change brands and names to News Talk 1400. We'd also have seen many games canceled because of COVID-19, the NLJHL on a 3-week pause, and yours truly recovering from COVID after not doing a show for a couple weeks. So certainly a lot has changed, but nothing has changed as far as my pleasure to have you on our show. How are you doing on this Monday, sir?
Scotty, my friend, I'm doing great. Certainly has been too long. I will say that, you know, in that month absence, I did spend 2 weeks in the Cayman Islands. Yes, I'm rubbing that in. It was fantastic. And, you know, getting back, it was the perfect amount of time away. Certainly missed talking to you and all of our great staff with the Game Sports Show and everyone connected. It came back to a very hectic Ontario, if you will. A lot of things changed in the absence, which affected some show schedules, and some of my full-time job as well. So it's been quite the adjustment coming back. But nonetheless, I'm happy to be talking to you, and I hope all is well.
All is well, Dave. Everyone healthy and happy in the family. And certainly 2 weeks in the Cayman Islands is better than 3 weeks in quarantine in my basement. However, that wasn't that bad either way. Dave, let's start with the game, entertainment, and media, the platform that you can hear your shows, this show, and all our shows on our family of shows here on the game entertainment and media. It's 2022, so I figured it was a good time to start our segment talking about what's ahead for the platform. So the floor is yours, sir. You've been the driving force behind all of this. So what is ahead? What are some changes and some new things to look for, not just for the game and the game sports show, but just the game entertainment and media platform?
You know, the game entertainment media has been a project since January 2020. And what happened a few months after January 2020? Well, everyone knows because it's been around since March and it's been over 700 days of COVID-19. So it was a secret that was kept in lock and key, if you will. Everyone knew about the TGM launch and then it kind of paused. And the reason of the pause, as I mentioned, was because of COVID. And going into now being January 2022, that's 2 years after the official Game Entertainment Media name launch, we are finally getting to our status quo of what we wanted to do, essentially. And I want everyone to know that the Game Sports Show and the Game Entertainment Media is two separate brand names, but the Game Sports Show, are in connection to the Game Entertainment Media, but it's all the same family. Obviously, the names are similar. It makes sense. So if anyone's saying, are they different? Yes and no. Are they the same? Yes and no. The Game Entertainment and Media is a podcast platform community hub, if you will, that is launched on YouTube. We're going to be having category-based shows on our YouTube channel, the Game Entertainment and Media YouTube channel. They'll let you enjoy sports, mental health, Sault Ste. Marie. It'll allow you to enjoy music, creativeness, all these different podcast topics in the video format, along with upcoming soon docuseries. So the Game Sports Show will also have its own YouTube channel, which is not really too unfamiliar to anybody. We did have a previous one before, but we never continued. So that's been relaunched. But the main connector and driving force is the TGM Network, it's called, the Game Entertainment and Media Network, where you can hear the Game Sports shows all over, including our special edition uploads and all of our new shows. Everything is transitioning over to video, and you can still hear everything on where you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, Podbean, etc. But the Game Entertainment Media is a platform of where those of local and national, so outside of the Sioux, will have their podcast content aired and distributed throughout that channel platform. So if you have a podcast and you want to be a part of a growing family and have your podcast aired for anyone to enjoy, no matter what the category is, heck, it doesn't matter if you talk about modeling. If you have a model podcast and you want to have a category underneath the TGM Network, you will get that. We will air that. Some examples, some big ones that we've added. We've added the Borderline here in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, inside the music side. We've added Bitters, a rival podcast, another local content. Amanda Lambert, a local entrepreneur, is doing a mental health podcast. So we have various podcasts on this channel for everyone to be able to enjoy. So there will be more information. It's been a very low-key marketing announcement. There will be more coming this week. A lot more content and a lot more shows to upload on the TGM Network, but that doesn't mean you should pull away from the GameSportsShow.com. All of our shows will be uploaded on there as well in both the video and audio format. So definitely a lot to swallow there. There's a lot more even to that, but it's been an ongoing project. We have a lot of new partners involved with us and content providers. And we just want to have their content aired and continue to grow this family. And TGM offers that. It's going to be a heck of a 2022, Scott. And it's a great way to start the year by announcing that. It's been a long-awaited project. And for more information, you can contact me. And if you're interested to be a part of this, you can contact myself or yourself or anyone a part of the TGM or Game or the Game Sports Show family.
Dave, it's really been enjoyable to watch this idea grow, one I've had for many years. And when we hooked up back at McDonald's back in the mid-2010 and then adding Butch and EJ and now just having so many different shows and not just on sports, like you said, just to have these other venues and just opportunities for people in our community and others to, you know, participate and get a message out there, especially, you know, myself with mental health, the field that I work working full time. I just think it's a great idea, and kudos to you for being the driving force behind this. And we'll certainly talk more about this in the weeks, months, and hopefully years to come. Let's look at a couple of the sports that are going on, Dave, including the Ontario Hockey League. The Sioux Greyhounds, they haven't paused their season. They continue to win. They did lose in a shootout this past Thursday, 3-2 at Windsor. And then the Hounds traveled to Guelph on Friday and doubled up the Storm by the score of 4-2. Greyhounds still in first place in the West Division, 21-12, 2-1, and currently 3 points ahead of second place Flint. The Hounds will be at home for 3 games this week, Wednesday night against Saginaw, Friday night against Flint, and Saturday night against Barrie. All those games at the GFL Memorial Gardens, a 7:07 start time. And you can hear all those games over on our sister station, Rock 101. So the Hounds really have been consistent this whole season, Dave. I mean, they haven't won every game, but they've avoided that big, long losing streak. They have had, you know, several games where they have not played well, but they seem to bounce back nicely. What's your status of the Hounds as we enter, believe it or not, February next week?
You know, can't believe that it's almost February. And like I said, a lot of big things coming with this platform and our show as well. It's going to be great. And that, you know, the coverage of the local sports is a percentage of obviously a big strong percentage of what we do. And the Hounds' success, it's just great to see. You know, when you think about it, for the last number of years, Scott, the Hounds have been so enjoyable to watch. It doesn't matter what year you look back at. For the past decade, this has been a team that has had some good success. Yeah, maybe not first every year, maybe not, you know, they weren't ever really last. You know what I'm saying? They're never a dead last team. They were a team that was playoff team and did well in the playoffs. You know, obviously just under a handful of years ago, they end up losing to Hamilton in the finals. And speaking of this year, this is a team that I think was exceeding expectations much earlier in the season, not because they were in the top or threshold of the standings. I thought they'd be more of the bottom, not bottom like last place, like a bottom seed playoff team is where I figured this team would be. And they are above that, you know, and this is a competitive OHL this year. You got the big dogs are back, like to call it the Londons, et cetera. They're in place, but obviously some big moves like Mason McTavish that moved on. You got some good talent in the Ontario Hockey League. But the Sioux Greyhounds this past week and weekend, they've been showing what they've been doing all year. They've been consistent. Yeah, they lost a game in a shootout, but they battled hard. They were tenacious and they got the point needed to get that point. And that, hey, doesn't matter if you lose in a shootout, even though Scott and I have vocally said numerous times on the show, we do not like shootouts. But hey, you still get that point. That's better than having no points. Okay. And they get wins, they grind out wins, and their moves at the deadline, I was impressed with. And my fiance's father is a massive Hounds fan. He's been going to every game since I believe he was a teenager. Okay. He has his old seat from the Memorial Gardens and his sauna at camp. Okay. This is a guy that talks and bleeds that red and white. And the way that he talks about this Hound team, you could just see the passion instilled in him about the expectations, but also how he feels about this team. And that's the community thought of this team, is that they are exciting to watch and there is promise. Is everyone convinced that they are a championship team? Well, no one wants to think not that they are. They want to remain positive, but in some serious conversation I've had with numerous people, this is a team that people think can get the job done and be that team in the playoffs that is not under the radar, but May isn't expected to win. And I think everyone should be proud of what the Hounds have done this year. But Scott, the big thing I'll say is the key words that even go back to this weekend, 3 out of 4 points, tenacious, getting the job done, getting points, and continuing to play well as a hockey team.
Dave, the fact that your future father-in-law has a sauna is impressive. The fact that he has his old seat from the Memorial Gardens, that's priceless. I love it. Dave McKay Jr. joining us on the game. And Dave, we'll finish our segment with the NOJHL, currently still in a pause, but as announcement was made last week that the NOJHL will return to play starting on Thursday, February 3rd, as they are still adjusting the schedule, so to speak. The Sioux Eagles will be next at home, or I should say next game, rather, will be on Friday, February 4th, where they will take on Powassan at Polar Stadium. You can hear that game with myself and Rob Horn right here on News Talk 1400. Sioux Thunderbirds slated to resume action on Friday, February 4th as well. where they will take on the Greater Sudbury Cubs at the John Rhodes Community Center. So the NLJHL looks to be back here next week, Dave. They're not going to get, I would assume, their 56-game schedule. They're going to try to get as many games as they can in February through mid-March before the playoffs begin. But looks like NLJHL will be back next week. Your thoughts?
You know, happy to see them back. And they obviously wasn't the same as the Sioux Greyhounds of the Ontario Hockey League. A little bit different. A different approach. And people wonder why that is. And have asked me, why do I think that is? And I have talked to those who I know of the Thunderbirds, but I'm not going to speak on their behalf. They've said it. They've stated as to why. The league has stated as to why. So I simply just guide people into just following up and listen and watching the NLJHL articles just so they can be up to date for when they're starting again. And what I really see with them resuming is positivity, optimism to get them back on the ice. You know, there's been 3 years of this, Scotty, right?
Yeah.
And there's been players that haven't had the opportunity to enjoy their last years in junior hockey. And relating to myself, you know, I was able to enjoy 4 years of junior hockey full, three and a half years, because I left the team early due to one of my best friend's tragic deaths. But I was able to enjoy a good duration of my junior career. So who I really feel with right now, Scott, is those that are, you know, that were 17, 18, or 18, 19, 20, that are now 20 and that were 18 at the time, and they didn't get a chance to enjoy their junior careers. Very, very pivotal years in your junior hockey career. So people always wonder, even the other side, Dave, is this worth, are they still getting looked at? Are they still worthy talent? Absolutely. Just because of this doesn't mean that their careers are over, but maybe for some it is, right? And I feel that's where I feel really bad. But to see them come back, it is great to see. They've had a very strict system in place, has the NOJHL, and I commend it. Okay, they are acting out of health and safety first. They're following the regulations of the provincial government. Not saying the Ontario Hockey League isn't. The Ontario Hockey League had to get approvals for certain things. But, again, the NOJHL has done what it's needed to ensure the safety of its players. And that's been my answer to everyone's question with it. But just to see them be able to come back, that's great, and I think everyone's got to get out and support them. The capacity limits are going to be in place most likely, but if you can get out to enjoy a game or watch them, listen to them on radio that you can hear Scott do games, particularly with the Eagles, you got to get out and support them. You know, it's been such a long 3 years. Let's support them, and let's cheer them on, your home team, if it's Eagles, Thunderbirds, or Beavers, or any team. But to answer your question quickly again, Scotty, great to see them back. And I think they've done everything right. Despite this pause, they've done everything appropriately and according to code, and I commend them for that. So I give kudos to NOJHL for being able to sacrifice and work around the schedule for as long as they've been able to these 3 years, but in particular this year, which has arisen to be a lot of surprising additional challenges.
Dave, we got to leave it there. We are out of time, but we appreciate you joining us on the game here on News Talk 1400. You can find more shows this week on the website, thegamesportsshow.com. Have a great rest of your week, my friend, and we will talk to you next week. We'll talk even a little bit snowmobile talk as the I-500 just a couple weeks away. Thanks for joining us, Dave. Have a great rest of your week, as I said, and we will talk to you next Monday night.
Sounds good, my friend. And yes, big I-500 talk and a big special edition upload with Pete Mihaljevic and Marcel Dion coming up this week. So very big things, Scotty. And to continue from the beginning, we're ending it the same. So I will talk to you soon, my friend. And thanks again. Have a good rest of your night.
You as well, sir. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Let's get to the second half of the game on News Talk 1400 WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie. It's the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Now, here's Scott Nason.
And welcome back to the game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you for hour two of the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, as we are joined now and for the rest of the show by co-host of The Game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Brand new edition of Butch on Sports from Sunday night, available on Butch's podcast site. That would be Simply Butch 2. That's TOO.podomatic.com. You can also find Butch on Sports on Facebook. Just look up Butch on Sports, as well as our podcast site, thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. As Butch joins us each and every week, or In this case, the first time in 3 weeks, as I was out, as I mentioned, for a couple weeks with COVID-19, myself and family doing fine, thankfully just minor symptoms. And Butch, I really appreciate you joining us on the game as well as checking in on me during my quarantine time. I truly appreciate that. How you doing on this, well, snowy Monday night, not just here, but where you're living?
Oh boy, yes, you bring the slop in the game here. You know, it's nice and cold, and finally we got a little bit of snow here in southeastern Michigan there that we can appreciate. I know the kids probably love it. They're probably rolling in it right now as their moms and dads let them outside after 7 o'clock in the evening there. But other than that, they done did it, and the roads are clear. Hopefully we can make it another day tomorrow here.
Absolutely. And Butch, I was thinking in our conversation before we came on the air, we need to come up with an online-only version of the game after hours, some of our conversations off-air, because they're as entertaining, if not as more entertaining, than some of the conversations we have on the air, but we can't put them on the air many times.
You know, what the heck,
Butch,
yeah, you've been spoiled.
Yes, we have.
You don't want to go black, you know, that underground and whatnot, so we'll be cool.
Yeah, we got to keep it professional here, as we always do. And Butch, we got to start with the NFL. We'll talk about the Lions in a moment. Their season's done. Not much to talk about there, but boy, this weekend in the NFL, divisional round playoffs. We didn't get a chance to talk about it last week with the wild card round, but I'll tell you what, I have not seen in my lifetime 4 games quite like we saw this weekend, all decided on last second scores. 3 of those games decided by game-winning field goals, all on the road, as Cincinnati, they win at Tennessee on a last-second field goal. They're going to take on Kansas City, who won in just an absolutely wild game last night at home over Buffalo in overtime. You also have San Francisco knocking off the Green Bay Packers on a last-second field goal to win that one, and they're going to take on Matthew Stafford and the L.A. Rams, who had to come, well, they didn't have to come back. They ended up blowing the lead, but they came back on a game-winning field goal. And before we get to some of the specific things I want to talk about, Butch, just overall, your thoughts on the divisional round playoffs certainly didn't lack any drama.
No, it didn't lack any drama at all here. This is the best I've seen since the 60s, my friend.
Yes.
As far as heady play, I mean, New State stuck to the tube. I mean, it had some dull points in there and some significant talkovers in some of the games being played, especially the Buffalo Bills Kansas City Chiefs game there. That has a lot of conversation being added to it. But every game was an exciting game. Every game but the Kansas City game, I should say, again, it won by the final second field goal kick there that basically, you know, doesn't look good on other people's resume there. But again, the ending of the game, you did not expect that. All the teams played very, very, I mean, golly, I'm trying to hold the curse words.
It's hard to.
It was a doggone good, doggone time on the weekend. I've not seen football play this competitive in a very long time. And the NFL needs a shot in the arm, such as this kind of type of football there. And hopefully seasons coming up there will be just as competitive as the playoff scenarios there in football indeed there. As there's some teams that are going in the hole, such as the Lions, and there's certain teams that keep their standards great, such as the Kansas City Chiefs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You can't say nothing bad about them. In this case, they did lose, but again, they fought like hell, okay, on that field. They're basically right now that you can't say nothing bad about Tom Brady at all.
No.
Maybe his defense.
Yeah.
And then that goes for Kansas City, too, and the Buffalo Bills. I don't know, you know. Let's talk about L.A. first. Cooper Kupp. Nobody cares about this guy.
Yeah.
No one gave a good cahoot about him.
Eastern Washington.
He's a triple crown winner in far as receiving yards, receiving touchdown, and everything else to go with it. And I can't to the life of me. Look at Tampa Bay not putting the cuffs on this guy here. I would have beat him to a pulp on the line of scrimmage, okay? Just to see him not get off the line, okay? And nothing happened. You just let the guy run free, you know? And he put the charge on him there. That was a performance. Matthew Stafford didn't miss him either.
No.
Okay? So, you gotta give them both some credit where credit's due. But again, the defense in that particular game in the final minutes. And the Chiefs game, 13 seconds? You mean the Buffalo Bills couldn't get on the line and beat the crap out of somebody? I mean, play physical football for, you know, you kick the ball. I'm still talking, but this is cool here. Dig this. The Kansas City Chiefs gets the ball back, okay? Now, the Buffalo Bills kicks it out of bounds. Why?
Why? Exactly.
Why? Okay. Let them field it on the 10-yard line, make them run, burn some clock.
Exactly.
3 seconds is better than what they had, okay? Now, you know that they got certain receivers, you know, prime and ready. Line up like you play professional ball and beat the slop out of them getting off that line. If they're going to get the ball, make them earn it. Make them burn the clock. And I did not see that in the L.A. game and the Tampa Bay game, nor I saw it in the Buffalo Bills game and the Kansas City Chiefs game. Those games could have been a little bit better for both of those teams to go further, but it did not happen.
Yeah, look, I kind of want to go through the games one by one, which we bounced around a bit. And let's start with that game last night. I mean, 25 points after the two-minute warning, and just so many things happened. You hit the nail right on the head, and I said it to my wife as we were watching that game. One, there was too much time left, 13 seconds. If you listen to the broadcast on CBS, Tony Romo already had Buffalo winning, and there was 13 seconds left on the clock. And I'm saying, wait a minute, we saw this in the Rams game, and this is Patrick Mahomes. And you hit the nail on the head on both points that I was going to bring up is one, why not squib it down to the 10-yard line? That at least burns at least 5 seconds off the clock. Kansas City maybe has it at the 25, 30, 35 yard line.
Get on the 10-yard line.
Exactly.
You know, if you got a skilled kicker there, he should be able to do that with no harm at all there, and he didn't do it.
Exactly, and that was my thought. And like you said, with the defense, how Kelsey was that open and able to get that yardage is beyond me. And the other thing I wanted to bring up, and it's certainly been a big topic of conversation today in sports, is this NFL overtime rule. Back in 2011, they did make an adjustment, whereas if the team that wins the kickoff does not get a touchdown, then the other team gets a chance. You know, say they kick a field goal, they get a chance to tie or win or do whatever. And there's been talk, I believe the NFL possibly, and I think they should look at this during the offseason. And here's my suggestion, Butch. I'm not the biggest fan of the college football overtime system where each team gets it on the 25-yard line and they get a chance to score. Here's my proposal for the NFL, and I don't know if I've heard this anywhere, but, you know, have the team win the flip. They get the ball. If they score a touchdown, then that team kicks it off, and then the opposing team has to score a touchdown to keep that in. What are your thoughts on that, and does the NFL need to change the overtime system, or your opinion?
You ain't going to like my opinion, buddy.
Okay.
A lot of people may not like my opinion, but I'm going to try to be sensible about it, okay? Look, where's the accountability on defense?
Yeah.
This is number one. When you talk about giving someone another chance, he never got the ball. Okay, then why don't your defense go out there and stop him?
Right.
And there's no accountability on that. And that's where I have a problem with doing that. This rule has been in session for years. And the better teams that want to keep the thing going, and it has been done, those teams go out there and play defense. And in this particular case, in the Buffalo Bills case, 13 seconds, that's a joke. They didn't play no defense, okay? They played prevent, and the only thing it prevented did, it prevented them from winning,
yep.
Okay? It's just plain and simple. And they got to go up there, like I said, and go up there on that line, challenge them, hit them in the mouth. If they got a penalty, you know what? They burned the clock. They got to burn the clock. And that's where I have a problem with the kickoff going dead off the end zone, and you're giving them the 25-yard line. Yep. Nothing ticked off. Kick it to the 10. Make them run the ball. If they beat you on a return, so be it, okay? But don't give them something that you don't have to give them, and you don't put no faith and no encouragement on the defense to do their job.
Looking at the Rams game against Tampa, the Rams win by the score of 30-27. And Butch, it's just the ultimate Lions moment again that we saw yesterday. Matt Stafford, who spent 12 years in what I call purgatory, playing with the Detroit Lions, not winning a playoff game. He goes out a week ago tonight and wins his first playoff game against Arizona. And then, you know, he made the big plays. He did what a lot of people said he was capable of doing. Being a good quarterback, and yesterday a great quarterback, despite the fact that the Rams almost coughed up the game, fumbling four times. But it's the ultimate Lions moment, Butch, when Matt Stafford, who played here for 12 years, wins more playoff games in the span of 7 days than the Lions have in the span of 64 years. Think about that for a moment. That's how bad the Lions have been.
Well, the Lions have been no bad, but again, I'm going to say it again. Defense. Cooper Kupp been running over people for years right now. And this year, exceptionally this year, he's done everything but, you know, carry around the kitchen sink. And he did in that last particular line of fire that the Los Angeles Rams had. Again, you don't play defense on that guy. You don't make yourself aware that this guy is a problem. And you don't do something to negate him from getting loose. This guy was wide open, okay?
Yeah.
And when you're wide open like that, that tells me right then and there, you're playing a zone. Why would you play a zone in a crucial point of the game where you're not going to get physical? Sure, you're tired. Sure, you're beat up. But you got to give it to him there. You got to make it as hard as I don't know what for that guy to accomplish his goal, and that's to catch the ball or get open. You got to hit that guy, and the NFL gives that rule. Got 5 yards, okay? You can beat the Cowboys slop out of a person as long as you don't go beyond the 5 yards. And if you don't make some contact on them or any type of way, they're going to do what they want to do. And in this case, Cooper Kupp did what he wanted to do. Matthew Stafford was aware of it. And by golly, they made it work. And you can't get mad at it. But again, you got to play defense.
A team that did play defense and special teams, Butch, the San Francisco 49ers go into the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field and knock off the Green Bay Packers 13-10, and not scoring an offensive touchdown, but it was special teams. They blocked a field goal. They blocked a punt for a touchdown, and then Robbie Gould with the game-winning field goal in the snow. And obviously, we'll talk more about Aaron Rodgers and his future, I'm sure, in the weeks and months to come. But, you know, San Francisco is Green Bay's kryptonite. They seem to not be able to beat Green Bay. And, you know, the Packers once had a pretty strong home field advantage in the playoffs. But since winning their Super Bowl about 10 years ago, they have struggled in the postseason. San Francisco advances to take on the Rams. That was a fun game to watch. Weather conditions that we're used to here in northern Michigan, and you're getting down there today.
Yep. Well, again, basically, in this case, the defense came to play on both sides of the team.
Yep.
Let's give Green Bay credit where credit's due. They kept that game very, very snug as a rug there for San Francisco to win it. They had to do some things. And again, when Green Bay's defense failed them in certain areas there, in certain particular appearances of Deebo Samuels, or again, in this, and you know, some of the other receivers, it was just plain bad there, you know. Again, you know, I love games like this because you get to find out what team wants it the most. And in this weekend, we found out what teams wanted the most there. And they were exciting. They were chill breaker. It made you run to the refrigerator and get another beverage and still have somebody on the rebound to let you know what's going on while you're doing it. It was exciting. It was worth watching all the way through without flicking the channels over and whatnot. And again, if the NFL gets parity together, which it will never happen because you got dodo head general managers who feel that they know more about football, instead of getting football people in play, it's going to be, in certain areas, it's going to be lopsided there. Frisco, this is the second time in 3 years they've been in this position there.
Yep.
So you can't sit up there and complain about them. Los Angeles has not been in this position in a whole heck of a while.
Long time.
Their thing is they got to win at home, and they win at home, they got everything just made in the shade for them because they get to play the Super Bowl at home. So, again, this is a great scenario for the NFL to run up and really charge on. But, again, in the line of fire in many of these games, it's the team that plays defense is going to win the game there. And it may seem kind of lopsided or silly in certain parts of the game, but, again, it always happens at the end of the game where the teams who want it bad enough go do the doggone little things that make it worth the while. San Francisco did that in the game against Green Bay. They made Aaron Rodgers look mediocre, and I'm quite sure he didn't want to look the way he looked in a home game where he's doggone near the top seed and really didn't perform to the point where he could have went out there with a win. They would have had it made in the shade that everybody had to come to Green Bay, but that won't be the case this year.
And Cincinnati, Butch, again, a great defense, limiting Derrick Henry to, I believe, under 60 yards. And how about the toughness of Joe Burrow? This guy got sacked 9 times, and the Bengals win the game. Certainly Cincinnati, I think, has surprised a lot of people, you know, not just during the regular season, but they won their first ever game on the road in the playoffs. They were 0-7 before yesterday's game. Bengals, you know, their defense and Burrow's toughness was, to me, just outstanding. 9 times you get sacked and you win.
That's about a team buying into each other.
Yep.
Okay? We talk about Chase. We talk about Cincinnati's defense in certain periods of the game when it came through and came through with stars and stripes. Burrow getting beat up. Believe me now, if he gets beat up by Kansas City, he will go home with stretchers and a rollaway bed and all the fixings and trimmings because Kansas City's been there. They're going to beat his brains out. And Cincinnati can't let that happen in this game where if they expect to win, which many people don't expect them to win, they're going to have to protect their quarterback a lot better than what they did. In all shapes and sizes there, they're cocky. That's a cocky team right now, not cocky in the sense where they're overbearing to the general public, but cocky in the sense that they believe in one another, they know how to pump one another up. McPherson, you know, in the statement that was made on the sideline,
yeah.
You can't overrun it. This guy knew in his mind and in his heart, we're going to the championship game. And by golly, it happened, okay? But that spears on other people. That spears on other playmates. That spears on your coaching staff, that the confidence in that was instilled in Cincinnati's ball playing there, even though that quarterback got beat to a pulp. They stuck in there and stuck it out. And, you know, and again, they reaped the benefits of going to a championship game in Kansas City.
Championship games will be played on Sunday, Butch, 3 o'clock, Cincinnati at Kansas City. The Bengals have never lost an AFC championship game. They're 2-0. They haven't been there a lot, but they've never lost an AFC championship game. They did beat Kansas City during the regular season at home. The other game in the NFC in Los Angeles, the Rams take on at San Francisco, that game at 6:30. The Niners have beaten the Rams 6 times in a row, including 2 times this season, Butch, and the Rams, or I should say the Niners, needed that win just to get in the playoffs. So I don't know if the drama and type of games can match what we saw last weekend, but certainly we got a couple intriguing matchups coming up here on Sunday.
Hopefully it will be just as exciting as it was on Saturday and Sunday there with the games coming out and the participants. The lowest seeds in all of this came forth to maybe some of the, not the highest seeds, but the ones in between it.
Right.
And it was, and you speak on the Tennessee game. Let me say this about that. Derrick Henry was not ready to play.
No, not at all.
Sorry. That was the most stupidest mistake that Tennessee made. Maybe next week, if they got in it there or they went further, he would have had that extra week of practice and timing and people getting familiar with his style and his grace there. But just putting him in there the way they did, that was don't feel wrong, okay? I'm just so sorry to say that, but it was just wrong. He, you know, and I'm quite sure he put his heart and soul in it, but he was not ready to play.
Not at all.
Let's give a credit when credit's due there. Tennessee lost the game where basically if they maybe went with their original style of play without Henry, they may would have had a better chance of winning that game.
Butch, we got to go to break. We come back, we'll talk more about the NFL as well as the NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Ah, the joys of cooking. Just find a recipe, get the ingredients, preheat the oven. Okay, this is already too much. Pull up Applebee's to go instead. Choose from the whole menu, order and pay online, pick it up, and now you're home with dinner. Ah, the joys of not cooking. Applebee's to go. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood.
Pick up your next meal with Applebee's Carside to Go. Order and pay online, pick up, and head home.
Central Savings Bank. Ask what we can do for you.
Central Savings Bank has been your hometown bank since 1902. They live where you live, and they're here to help. Stop into one of their 9 locations and ask what the CSB family can do for you. With conveniences like online banking, access your money when and where you want, CSB Loan Pay Express, pay your CSB loan wherever you are, instant issue debit cards, stop by your local branch and get a new card without the wait. Mobile wallet. Make purchases right from your smartphone. Central Savings Bank has all the conveniences you need and want for today's fast-paced world. Visit one of their 9 locations today to get started by asking what the CSB family can do for you. Bank with the best. Bank with Central Savings Bank.
Central Savings Bank. Ask what we can do for you.
Getting the kids to practice on time, remembering if it's your day to bring snacks, making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pingator, your independent Auto Owners agency on West Water Street in the Sioux.
I gotta figure out how to move the snow before it gets here. Wow, a lot of plows and blowers in the market. And where are they made? Okay, China. Wait, Brazil? What the? There's no way I'm gonna throw away my money. I'm going with Boss.
Boss snow plows from Gaylor Thompson are made in the UP, where winter and deep snow are just a way of life. Boss plows, made in Michigan for Michigan winters. Waiting for you at Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service, exit 373 just off I-75 Rudyard.
You can catch podcasts of The Game at thegamesportshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason on News Talk 1400.
Welcome back to The Game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host Butch Davis from Butch on Sports. Butch, you know, we didn't have a postscript on the Lions doing a couple having a couple weeks off due to COVID-19. So I wanted you to give and paint a rosy picture of the Lions heading into the offseason. Lots of optimism, of course, with the new head coach. We saw the offensive line and play well, especially towards the second half of the season. They got a running game going a bit. We saw a young wide receiver do well. The defense played better in the second half. Boy, I'm trying to paint a rosy picture. I think that's all I got, Butch. So Lions heading into the offseason, Butch, just in your opinion, as someone that's you know, around the team more often than I am, just give our listeners what the Lions need to do to be more competitive next season.
Experience and taking the rough rear end kickings that they took, especially in the earlier part of the season, put them away, learn a lesson from it, and move forward. One thing that the coach did again in week number eight, is he took attention to detail.
Yep.
And we knew that the offense was not right. I have complained about the offense from day one with our audience out there. They know it. I have said it. I have complained about Anthony Lynn. And so be it. He is gone.
Gone.
Okay. But again, for what I saw that the Lions could do to keep them in games and make them somewhat more competitive, they did not do in the early round. In the second portion of the season, where, again, they had 9 games, they did a lot better job. They made the team more competitive, more exciting, more fruitful of wanting to go out there and do a better job than what they were doing in the first half of the season. The coach was calling the plays. And, again, some of them may be weird, but they came out to be exciting. They worked. They motivated the team to do better. And that's all people want to see, is that you make an honest attempt to do better. The Lions have the athletes on the team. There are going to be some changes, hopefully to better the team. But right now, the Lions need, number one, Jared Goff to be a lot more mobile.
Yep.
Not to be scared to not so much make a mistake, but not to be so scared enough to go ahead on and try to advance the team on his back. He's not the type of quarterback I've seen this particular season that has done that, where he is more than capable to do it. Once that happens, again, your running backs are a lot more effective, which, again, we first time in a long time that we have had an offensive line that can bull rush and give the runners inside and out a chance to make significant yards. And that has been there all season long. It has not been used accordingly or somewhat even out the Lions season when it comes down to offense. When they got hit to it, okay, in that final 9 games, things happen. They use that running game in order to make Jared Goff a lot more effective passing quarterback there. Now, Mr. St. Brown, he came around. A whole lot of other receivers, young and studious, they all came around. I think the familiarity of the receivers that they have right now, and maybe getting someone who's a speedster, a trailblazer there, will make this team more complete. Now on defense, they need a lot more work in the backfield. And I mean, the first half of the season, they look sloppy.
Yep.
Second half of the season, they challenge the receivers a lot more. That means you line up over the receiver, you play more man-to-man. People may not like it, per se, because you can't disguise certain things. When you're in a zone, you can disguise things. You can make someone feel that they're going to go after this particular person. But, again, they're eyeing out on another receiver there in order to make an interception or to pull off a play or to kind of rattle the quarterback on the opposite side. They didn't do that. They played more man-to-man and more up-in-your-face type of football. And that's what I think people would like to see. Where the zone, when you do play it, is a more of an element of surprise, and then you can get over with it. But the Lions have to learn when to use it, but they got to go out there and be a lot more physical. That is including the linebackers. That's also including the front line.
Butch, you talked about this last night on your show. We don't know the Lions' schedule. That'll be released in the spring, but we do know their opponents for next year. Of course, they play their divisional opponents, Green Bay, Chicago, and Minnesota, once at home, once on the road. They'll also be taking on the NFC East this upcoming season, Philadelphia and Washington at home, at Dallas, and at the New York Giants. They'll also be taking on the AFC East, home games against the Buffalo and Miami, road games against New England and the Jets. They will also play Seattle at home, Carolina on the road, and Jacksonville at home. So the Lions get an extra home game. And, you know, you look at that schedule, Butch, or at least their opponents, not the most daunting schedule, you know, playing a pretty weak NFC East. Granted, Dallas is good and Philadelphia made the playoffs. And the AFC East, you know, you had a couple teams in there, the Jets and Miami, that, you know, possibly could beat. So looking at the opponents, you know, maybe the future is a little bright for the Detroit Lions. You know, talking about the things that you just pointed out and some of their positives, the schedule doesn't look that daunting.
Well, I don't believe in the schedule anyway. I never have. I never will, because every single year you got somebody new coming out the wet wash.
Yes, yeah, Cincinnati.
Those teams that you talk about that are beatable or got beat up to a pulp this year, they're lacking maybe one or two players or a coaching staff or a general manager to somewhat dictate their betterment of getting on the field and putting out a better product there. So I don't always go along with the schedule per se there. You look at, we say we play in Jacksonville, but Jacksonville has a lot of good young players, and they get a coaching staff and a coach down there that basically can take advantage of what they have right now. Jacksonville with a couple more players in the draft, because they're going to be high on the totem pole with that. They're going to do a pretty doggone good job, and they're going to surprise a lot of people there. So it's not so much the schedule that I look at. I look at the quality of plays where the Lions are at the present moment, and we're talking about our home team Lions, and what they need to do in order to get over the hump. They have to learn how to win. And the best way how to win a game is you got to have a very invincible defense to take risks and do some of the things that they have not done in the past. And that's get physical. And the better teams do that. And until you get that way, you know, people get to scout you just like the Lions get to scout them. The scouting sometimes, in my judgment, is sometimes questionable of what they receive versus what the Lions are able to dose out to other teams. But again, if they get a good scouting report and able to prepare themselves accordingly, any team is a winning team. And so you can't look at who they're going to play. Yeah, and this is what they did last year. Last year is not this year. And Lions got to act accordingly there. They can't live on past morals. They got to learn how to move ahead.
And to your point, Butch, if you looked at the schedule at this time last year and saw the Lions playing Cincinnati at home, you would have said, oh, that's a win. And what does Cincinnati do?
Yeah, is it a win? No.
Yeah, and another team, Buffalo, they lost to Jacksonville this season, and if they would have won that game, they would have been playing at home against Kansas City or somebody else, and that could have changed everything. So you make
the team, and again, those small little losses against teams that you don't think is worth a good doggone, they put a hurting on a lot of teams this year. The Lions put a hurting on Green Bay, you know, that last game of the season, although they didn't care and was top rated. Okay. They took care of all the top rating and everything else when it came down to the playoffs, when they got beat up in their own house by the lowest seeded team, just getting in on a wish and a prayer at San Francisco. So, again, you can't judge everything on who they're going to play next year. The Lions got to be prepared to give everybody an opportunity of beating the brains out and going in there and being an aggressive team.
Yep, Butch Davis wins that point. I cede the point to you, sir. Makes total sense. Butch, let's move on to a team that has improved this season, the Detroit Red Wings. A tough weekend for the Wings. They did earn a point in an overtime loss to Dallas on Friday and then fell at Nashville 4-1. The Wings have hit the halfway point of their schedule, improved over last year. They have a record of 18-17-6. Detroit doing a real good job at home, Butch. Record of 13-6-3, which is eighth in the league as far as that mark. However, on the road, they've really struggled. 5-11-3, 28th out of 32 teams in the NHL. Wings at the midpoint of the season, Butch. What are your thoughts as far as what you've seen and what they need to do in the second half to continue to not just be above 500, but contend for a playoff spot? They're on the outside looking in, but they're in striking distance.
They need to be a lot more conscious of their defense right now. Their defense stink. They got to be a lot more conscious of what goalie they play. Do you want to play a goalie for 6 or 7 games in a row, or do you want to kind of switch it off and maybe look at fresh legs and going out there and keep you somewhat competitive and teaching this team how to be supported not only to one goalie but both the goalies? And that's going to be happening not so much with lip service, but that's got to happen with playing good defense. And right now the forwards as well as the defensive core of the Detroit Red Wings have not played good defense at all. Their defense has stunk. Some of the goals that I've seen where the player was uncontested, that is not on the goalie. That is on strictly the defense who did not clear the guy out.
I would agree with that, Butch. Outside of Sider on defense, who has been very good, I really have not been impressed. Ronick has played a little better over the past couple weeks, but you know, look at this defensive core: Letty, Lindstrom, Stahl, DeKaiser. Just you know, I think there was more expected out of these guys, and I would agree that defense seems to be their biggest issue right now. And
they're not being physical.
Okay? No, not at all.
Most of these teams, again, who are winners, are very competitive. They're playing some type of physical game. And I'm not saying the Red Wings got to go up and beat up everybody and get into 4 or 5 fights a game there. They got to be somewhat responsible for taking on a man, following that guy, and giving them the life-spending charge that he don't deserve when it comes down to being in that portion of the end where that goaltender's up there. And in most cases, he has no choice, okay? And I feel sorry for our two goaltenders. And I feel bad for the way that the Red Wings are playing on defense there because, again, majority of the games they're playing are very, very close indeed. They're tying or they're doing certain things and keeping in close, but majority of those games could be wins if they just tighten up on the defense a little taste there.
The Wings currently with 42 points in the East. They are 8 points out of a playoff spot. Boston holds that last wild card spot. They have 50 points, and they played 4 less games. Of course, a lot of teams are still trying to make up games over the past month that have been canceled. Just looking at the NHL as a whole, Butch, top team in the league right now is Florida, 28-9-5 with 61 points. They're tied with Tampa Bay. We kind of knew both those teams would be good in the East, Butch, and they're proving it. Those are solid outfits down in Florida.
Yeah, in Florida, not up north.
right.
Not in Canada, in Florida, okay? But, you know, they got some good coaching staff down there. And a lot of it has to do with their coaching staff and how they're putting together and bringing the players together in order to win games. They're playing a responsive game on offense and defense, and their goaltending is just superb.
Butch, we're going to take our final break of the night. Time flies when you're having fun, but we come back. We will talk about the Detroit Pistons. We'll also look at college basketball, and who knows what else we'll talk about. Just one other note, the Wings' next action will be at home on Wednesday when they host the Chicago Blackhawks. We'll have that game over on 1230 WSOO. We will be joining that game in progress. We'll have Suhai Basketball at Cedarville Detour before that, but we'll be joining Ken Cal and Paul Woods probably in about the second period or so on Wednesday night. We're going to take our final break here on the game. We'll be back with more on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
MNC Water Systems has a solution for all your water needs. Want clean, fresh drinking water? MNC Water Systems proudly distributes Norway Springs artesian water, bottled right here in the Upper Peninsula. Cooler rental and bottled water delivery for your home and office are available. MNC Water Systems is offering contactless delivery right to your door, as well as curbside pickup. Call Mo at MNC Water Systems today at 906-647-7307. Serving the Eastern UP for over 25 years.
O'Connor's Chrysler Dodge, Dodge Truck and Jeep in Pickford is your full-service dealership, servicing Pickford and the surrounding areas with pride for more than 50 years. O'Connor's top-notch body shop includes a state-of-the-art frame straightener. O'Connor's is also a proud supporter of community events. Its sales team has the experience to know which model is right for each customer. And with financing available to back your purchase, you can drive away today in your dream vehicle. Local people, local pride. Stop in today on M129 at O'Connor's.
At Old Mission Bank, we're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality. We're excited to announce that we now offer USDA home loans with options for 100% financing. You heard that right, 100% financing for qualifying USDA mortgages. Come see our experienced lenders to discuss your personal options and let us find the right mortgage for your needs, because it's what we do best. Act now to pre-qualify by calling us or apply directly online at omblloans.com. We're Old Mission Bank, home of your experienced local mortgage professionals. FDIC insured, equal housing lender.
Don Wilson Insurance Agency is big enough to serve and small enough to care. Don Wilson Insurance offers coverage from Fremont Insurance for personal, auto, home, boat, and commercial. Caring about community is just one of the things that sets us apart. We like to think of it as teamwork. When it comes to protecting the things that matter most, we have you covered. Call Don Wilson Insurance today for your free Fremont Insurance quote at 906-635-5600.
It's 2022, and Reed Metals in Tafter, your honest, main source metal recycling business serving northern Michigan, hopes everyone has a prosperous year. Reed Metals is still paying top dollar for whole scrap vehicles. They also buy heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, batteries, rims, and motors. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Reed Metals also buys copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, and many more types of recyclable metals. Bring in your unwanted vehicles or metals, and they will print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals is your honest recycling business. They also offer roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit reedmetals.com or call 906-632-0018. Bring it in or have it hauled, and Reed Metals will print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals is only 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail. Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on News Talk 1400.
7:43 on the game, and News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by Butch Davis, co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports. If you want to hear the full 2-hour version of tonight's show, you can find it right around 8:15, 8:30. On the website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. You can also find all broadcasts of Sioux High Blue Devil Athletics over on 1230 WSO, the Game Sports Show from Sioux, Ontario, as well as the sport-specific shows over in Sioux, Ontario, Butch on Sports with our co-host Butch Davis, as well as our newest show, Full Court Press, talking about boys basketball in the Eastern Upper Peninsula with Matt Johnson. Butch, speaking of basketball, let's talk about, well, the team that's not playing the best basketball, the Detroit Pistons, competitive for a majority of the game on Sunday, but they would end up falling to Denver by the score of 117 to 111. 22 turnovers for the Pistons, including 6 of those in the fourth quarter, dooming them as the Pistons now 11-35, second worst record in the NBA. Their next action will be at home on Tuesday night against Denver. You can hear that game right here on News Talk 1400, starting with the pregame show around 6:40. Well, Butch, we haven't talked about the Pistons for a few weeks, but the things remain the same with them, winning a couple games. But boy, I got to say, I like basketball and I like the Pistons. This is a tough team to watch right now.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
Really is a big fat joke. I can't understand the logic of this organization and how they want to put this team together here. you have on one side, you have a coach, head coach, who basically feel that everything's a 3-point grab and where these kids can't play basketball. Item number two is I don't think they have enough in the forward line of playing forward, and I think that hurts the Pistons deeply there. Kelly Olynyk, he's a very good guy, but again, he's not been well this year. I can't understand why Luka Garza has not gotten more time than what he should get as a high-priced, okay, high-drafted rookie. I don't think he's a bust. I don't, in any kind of way, and if Mr. Casey thinks he's a bust, then something needs to be said or done in order to satisfy both parties indeed, because from what I've seen of this particular player, Garza that I'm talking about, he has put up some numbers, and also it showed that he can be physical and can play the pro game. The Pistons don't have physicality where it's needed, and that's in the front line at all. That's where the Pistons get hurt very, very bad. They're either taking shots at 3-point range that majority of the time they're 30%, 20% is not going to get it for me. You know, if you a good 3-point shot or shooter, I should say, should be shooting 45%. If you don't have that, you better find the best shoot possible to get the most mileage out of what you can do on the floor. And the Pistons are not doing that. They're getting beat to a pulp every single game. Then this comeback situation doesn't get it for me, because at the end of the day, a loss is a loss.
And the Pistons have had 35 losses, Butch, in 46 games. And one of the things we were talking about off air was general manager Troy Weaver. And I had to look up his name because we don't hear anything from this guy. You're the general manager of a franchise, and much like the Detroit Lions general manager, we didn't hear much about either. You know, there's lots of issues to address. The Jeremy Grant situation, you know, is he going somewhere? You know, a lot of teams are interested. Is he going to stay? You got Dwayne Casey as head coach, who has not had a very successful tenure in Detroit. Is it time for Troy Weaver to have a state of the Pistons moment? And secondly, will he?
He needs to be a lot more verbal on his concern on how he wants this particular team to be, because, again, it's his team that he's putting on the floor. And if it's doing good, bad, or ugly, he needs to take accountability on it there. And he hasn't done that. Do I feel that it's a must in order to run the basketball team? Of course not.
Right.
But, again, when you see certain things are obvious, and then you see a team from last year, the way they were, and you tear it down to a pulp, okay? That's, you know, you get rid of players that basically are all-stars, or you thought they were going to do good on your team to get you to the playoff situation, and don't, you know, it's not working. I'm Kate Cunningham, I don't mean no harm, but the way they have built this young man up, it's not to build up, from what I'm looking at, basketball knowledge. He's not influencing other people to play with him.
Right.
Okay? And good players are able to give some type of enthusiasm to other players to do better or basically do their job. And I don't see this out there. They said the same thing with Hayes last year, okay? Because he stayed hurt majority of the time, over 50% of the season. And then when he came on in, it looked like I'm looking at a dud here, okay?
Yep.
And I'm still, you know, as I watch these two players go up and down the floor, I don't see any kind of consistency. I don't see any type of influence on other players to do better. I don't see their specialty of being offensive or defensive in any form or shape or bound where basically the team is being better. It's just a big fat mess. And of course, not only the general manager got to take responsibility for it, but the owner who hires him has to take a lot of homage on this as well.
Butch College basketball, Michigan and Michigan State both winning over the weekend. Spartans, a big win in Madison as they knocked off the Wisconsin Badgers 86-74. Michigan State now 15-3 overall, first place in the Big Ten, ranked number 10 on the season. And Michigan now playing after not playing for a few weeks because of COVID-19, also wins on the road over the weekend, I should say, knocking off Indiana 80-62. We're starting to get to February, Butch. Are you watching college basketball a little more, or are you going to wait till football's done?
You want to answer for me an honest one?
Yes.
I'm watching the Horizon League. I really do.
Okay.
I'm not watching the Big Ten right now because the Big Ten really has not even got cranked up yet. When the Horizon League, and I'm looking at local teams like, for instance, Detroit Mercy, who's not lost a Horizon League game, although their record doesn't look that way. And I'm looking at a team like Oakland, who has not lost too many games, okay, who's doing a fantastic job. They worked Green Bay to the final cut in this basketball game they played this past Saturday, and it was a good game there. Michigan State, again, we had three teams up in Milwaukee, you know, Wisconsin there, and yeah. They all did very, very well, other than Michigan, who was in Indiana, who did well as well. So I'm kind of looking right now at the Horizon League because when the chips hit there, you know, you look at local, and I would like to see Detroit Mercy do better. I would love to see Oakland get in the playoffs in the NCAA and see how good they really are.
Butch, we're just a couple weeks away from the Royal Rumble in the WWE. During my quarantine, I was able to watch quite a bit of the WWE and AEW. Just about 3 minutes left before we get to our thumbs up and thumbs down. Give our listeners an update on what your thoughts are on the wild world of wrestling.
Well, that was WWE tonight. Raw's going to be on. I'm quite sure they're going to really hype it up for this upcoming Saturday night, where they're going to have the Royal Rumble, a Saturday night instead of a Sunday.
Yep.
This is the second time that our people from the WWE just figures that, you know, it doesn't have to be on the Sunday. It could be on the Saturday night. And I think they got that from the AEW, who basically does their pay-per-views on a Friday night or a Saturday night there and get a lot of response from it there. Where Sunday, you know, you can stay in a match for a certain period of time, but if you got to go work early in the morning on a Monday, you got to make a decision there.
And that, yeah.
I don't think the WWE gets all that drag from it or whatnot there. As far as the crowd's concerned, it's great. Some of the pick of the litter of some of the matches that are going to come up in the Royal Rumble per se is Big Becky, okay. That match is going to be crap. Charlotte Flair's match is going to be crap. The Royal Rumbles is really what you want to look at.
Yes.
Because, again, those particular people who end up winning do some fantastic things during the summer months there when either they claim the baggage or the contract for the Royal Rumble after you see some one or two of the wrestlers come in some ridiculous circumstance there. That's going to be cool. Next to the AEW, they're just rolling along there. They're getting shows on that basically right now that people want to see. They're doing wrestling matches that kind of is reminiscent of the old NWA
sure is.
Type of wrestling there, where you do see some wrestling and some sportsmanship along with them beating the crap out of each other in certain matches and whatnot there. But the mixture is very, very well spread out in AEW rather than you watching the WWE, where every match is a as Jim Ross would say, a slobber knocker.
As he would, Butch. Well put. Butch, we got about 5 minutes left. Let's skip to our thumbs up and thumbs down for the week. Thumbs up. I got all thumbs up this week. I've been on quarantine for 3 weeks, so I just want to keep it all positive today. Thumbs up to the divisional round weekend in the NFL. Just a pleasure to watch. And my dad, who I know is listening, hasn't been a football fan for the longest time, but he was glued to the television and just talking about how exciting the action was. And so thumbs up to the NHL, or the NFL rather, and the divisional round playoffs. Thumbs up to Elise Cornett. You say who? Well, she is a player that is in the Australian Open quarterfinals. This is her 63rd main draw appearance, and it's the first time that she's ever made the quarterfinals after knocking off former world number one Simona Halep on Monday. This is the longest gap between a player playing in a main draw and making the quarterfinals. So good job to Miss Cornett. Well done. And a couple thumbs up here locally. Over the weekend, my wife and I were getting some food. And as anyone knows around here, Saturday night was not the best weather night. And we decided to take a side road and got stuck. And so we couldn't get ourselves out. We weren't prepared. So I went into the restaurant, and there was a group of hockey players from Windsor that were playing the Sioux Indians. I talked to their coach. I said, "Coach, how was your game? We lost." I said, "Okay, well, I lost too. I'm stuck. Can you grab some of your guys and help get me out?" Couldn't get us out. We were buried. And so my wife talked to a couple players on the Lake State men's basketball team, both freshmen, Kingsley Perkins and Kendall Smith. They came with a shovel. They're both 6'8". They're both huge kids, and they got us out. So a big thumbs up to that hockey team, as well as Kingsley Perkins and Kendall Smith getting us out. We made it unscathed, Butch, and we will not take that road ever again.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me repeat. It's nothing like sports that brings the best out of people here. I'll tell you right now here. Find a little hockey player here, he'll help you. Find Grandma Goodwitch. Well, she may not. I don't know. My thumbs up and thumbs down. I got to make this very quick here. My thumbs up is for, again, the NFL. They did one, whatever the results were this past weekend, which many of us weren't expecting. It was a good one, okay? And three games of last-second heroics, and the other game goes into overtime. You just can't beat it. Again, defense win ball games, boys and girls. Thumbs down. I got to give a thumbs down to Buffalo.
Oh, boy.
And their defense.
Yeah.
And also, give it to them. And you know what? We got to throw one to Tampa Bay as well. Come on. You got a chance to win a game, and all you got to do is beat the slob out of the guy, make it hard for him, and you couldn't do it. Oh, well. Wait till next year when everybody's right now, you're going to hear half the summer is Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers is going to play. Who cares?
Yes. Yeah. Talk about the teams that are playing.
That's right. Okay. That's a thumbs down for that.
Butch, it was great to be back with you here on the game. Appreciate you joining us once again, and we will talk to you next Monday night for our next edition of the game. We got to talk about the Winter Olympics coming up in Beijing. Hard to believe that the Olympics is going to happen, but it will, and so we'll have more to talk about next week. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you then, sir.
I can't wait for Dave to talk about hockey there.
Oh, yeah. He will be lock, stocked, and loaded. Want to thank Butch Davis as well as our guest, Matt Johnson from Full Court Press, along with Ken DePew, athletic director and head coach of the Newberry Indians boys basketball team, and, of course, co-host, the aforementioned David McKay Jr., for joining us on the game. Once again, if you want to hear the two full-hour version of tonight's show, you can find it here in about 20 minutes on the website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. That's going to do it for this Monday night edition of the game. We will talk to you next Monday night for our next edition here on News Talk 1400.